Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today's message comes from the Old Testament reading of Hosea, as you heard a few moments ago. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, many of you here in this room are married, and some of you have been married for a very long time. And maybe some of you, whether you've been married for a little bit of time or a long amount of time, had a song that was considered your song. Now, maybe it was a song that you danced to on your wedding day. Maybe it was a song that was just special to you. So, if you are a married couple in this room and you have a song that is your song and you would be willing to share it with the rest of us, what is your song? Anybody actually have one? Oh, there is one. Ooh, all right. A little bit of Elvis. All right. I'm yours. Okay. Anyone else? No, just one. All right. Well, oh, there's one. All right. When you say nothing at all, you say it best, right? What? Okay. All right. Anyone else? What? Time in a bottle. Okay. All right. Well, you know, it's possible that those of you that didn't say anything don't have a song, right? Or you just don't want to share it. But here are some, you know, maybe some famous love songs that you may have heard about before, you know, as you think about it. So All You Need Is Love by the Beatles. Very good. All right. Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers. Yeah, I'm giving you a little trivia now. Yeah, I know we trivia already passed. That's okay. And I Will Always Love You by? Ooh, that was divided. All right. Most famous, probably Whitney Houston. And that's because often songs are made more famous by appearing in movies. All right. So if you ever saw The Bodyguard, I Will Always Love You. Now, speaking of movies, I'm going to take you back to 2003 today. All right, to a movie that maybe many of you have seen. Some of it was before you were born. Right? If not, maybe you will go home and watch it today. Maybe I'll inspire you. We'll see. But the movie is Bruce Almighty. All right. And it features, in case you don't know, it features Jim Carrey as Bruce, who is a down-and-out, on-his-luck TV reporter who at the end of his worst day angrily ridicules and rages against God that he is not doing his job correctly. And God responds. God, who is played by Morgan Freeman, offers Bruce the chance to try and do better by being like God himself for a week, giving him divine powers. Bruce is able to do some miraculous things in that time, like walking on water. He adds stars to the sky. He pulls the moon in. He even parts a bowl of tomato soup. Now, what he eventually discovers is that he cannot do everything. Bruce is caught kissing a coworker at a big party that's celebrating him and his longtime girlfriend, who is not that coworker. Her name is Grace. She breaks up with him for it. Later, Bruce is talking with God, and he says, "She'll take me back, right?" And God says, "Would you take you back?" Bruce then says, "How do you make someone love you without affecting free will?" And God says, "Welcome to my world, son. When you come up with an answer to that, you let me know." Then Bruce goes on to try and do everything in his power to make Grace love him again, but it doesn't work. His efforts peak when he goes to her work, and as it's already happened again, it doesn't work, and he finally tries to use his powers that he's been given, and he's like this, and he's like, "Love me! Love me!" To which Grace responds, "I did." And then Bruce looks up at the sky and says, "Yeah, I know, free will." Now, I'm not going to say that Bruce Almighty has great theology and we would agree with every part of it, but this idea of love me, is one to explore today. Because wouldn't it just be easy to say that and it could happen? Now, there is one person in the Bible who actually did say this. We've seen her before. Her name is Leah. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." Ouch. Leah, not the favorite wife of Jacob. That was Rachel. Let's see if it worked out for her, if Jacob then loved her. The next verse says, "She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, 'Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too.' So she named him Simeon." So not so much. And even though many of you are sitting here today married, some of you have gone through feelings like this before of loving someone and them not loving you in return. Maybe it was a boyfriend. Maybe it was a girlfriend. Maybe it was a spouse. I mean, how many times have you heard of couples getting divorced because one spouse says, "I just don't love them anymore," or "I'm not in love with them"? And it doesn't matter what you do for that person, you cannot make them love you. You could also hear those words in the gospel reading for today. Listen to what Jesus says. "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." This scene is from Holy Week, but you can just hear God reaching out to his people, wanting them to love him, wanting to gather them to himself as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Now imagine what that must have been like, how that must have felt. Actually, there was one man in the Old Testament who I think could understand how God felt here in Matthew. His name was Hosea, and we heard part of his story this morning. Hosea is a prophet. His name means salvation. And his marriage to Gomer becomes a mirror image of God's relationship with the people of Israel. As God told him, "Go, marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord." Essentially, God is saying, "Go and marry a woman who's going to be unfaithful to you." And like a good prophet, Hosea does as the Lord tells him. But Gomer's not just known for her unfaithfulness. She's also known for being a prostitute. And they have three children. The first child, a son, is named Jezreel, which means God sows or God scatters. Because even though God made the descendants of Abraham as numerous as the stars in the sky, because of their unfaithfulness, the kingdom of Israel will be scattered. They have another child, a daughter, and she is named Lo Ruhamah, which means not loved. Because God will no longer show love to his people because of their unfaithfulness. Their third child, the son, is named Lo-Ami, which means not my people. Because Israel is not God's people and he is not their God. Though this relationship can be restored through the repentance of the people and God's redemptive action. Now imagine growing up in that household of Hosea with those parents, your name standing for so much beyond yourself, like this daily reminder to the people of Israel that they are no longer God's people. And obviously the people of Israel are not impacted much by the names of Hosea's children. And certainly Gomer was not impacted much either, because as we see by chapter 3, Gomer should really be called not my wife. Now, we're not given all of the details about the marriage of Hosea and Gomer, but this relationship, we see in chapter 3, God says to Hosea, "Go, show your love to your wife again, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites." Even though God's actions might not show his love for his people, Lo Ruhamah, That doesn't mean he ever stops loving them, stops being faithful to them. So too, Hosea is called to love and be faithful to Gomer, even though it appears that she has left him and the children for another man, because she is an adulterous wife, exactly as God said. Now, I know that this picture is what the people of Israel were to God, but I think that this is also a picture of our relationship to God. We confessed earlier in the words of Psalm 51, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." From the moment of our conception, we are opposed to God. And Jesus says in the Gospel of John, "He who does not love me will not obey my teaching." How many of you have ever opposed God, not obeyed God's teaching at some point in your life? We all have. We have all sinned against God in our thoughts, words, actions. Yet we also heard the words of Psalm 139 today. "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well." So you have these two sides. Right? We are created by God, yet we are sinful at birth. I mean, what a contrast. The things of God versus the things of man. Look at it this way. Let's go back to Hosea. He is faithful to his adulterous wife, Gomer. God is faithful to all of us. Hosea, he has to buy back Gomer, likely from a slave market. And in that action, he graciously forgives and redeems her. We heard in Romans that we are slaves to sin because of that sinful nature from birth. And as a result, we are unfaithful to God, deserving his judgment, which is death. And the result of our sin isn't just physical death, it's hell, it's damnation, it's eternal death. Yet when we were unfaithful to God, God remained faithful to us. And his love for his people, us, ultimately results in him buying us back, redeeming us, restoring us, saving us. And he does that by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, taking our judgment, the punishment, the death, hell that we deserve. And then in his resurrection from the dead, God sets us free from being slaves to sin because he has overcome sin, death, and the devil. And the end of that being is from going from slaves to sin to being slaves to God, which leads to eternal life. And why was Jesus willing to suffer and die for us? Because of love. God loves us no matter what. Even though he said he would not love Israel and they were not his people and he was not their God, he did restore them. And he does the same with us. Time and time again, we take our own path, the path that leads down the road of temptation and sin. And even though we don't treat God as our God, we are unfaithful to him. He is our God, and he brings us to repentance, and then we ask for forgiveness, and then he gives it to us. He restores us. Yet the question still remains, how do you make someone love you without affecting free will? And really, the question is, how do you make someone love you? The answer is, you don't. You can't. I mean, once you force someone, it's no longer love. Bruce tried, and it didn't work. And as Grace drives away, he says, "You can't leave me, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, baby!" Which is actually not true. Since God told him that he would have the powers of God, not that he would actually be God. Bruce made it all about himself, when really, it's all about grace. Let's go back to Hosea. We read in chapter 14, I will heal their waywardness and love them freely. Isn't that exactly what grace is? Freely being given what we don't deserve, like love. Being given something without requiring anything in return. Grace in the movie, and God's grace, is about love that's freely given, without any merit or worthiness in us. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world. God loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. So, is God up in heaven saying, love me? Well, yeah. But he can't make us love him. I mean, he could. But then, just as we said, it wouldn't be love if it's forced. God loves us even if we don't love him back. Did Gomer love Hosea even after he bought her back? That's the expectation, but I mean, we don't know for sure. We don't know the end of the story, and maybe not. God's love for us is unconditional, sacrificial, and through faith in him, by the Holy Spirit, we are able to love him in return. And this isn't something we choose to do on our own, because in our sinful nature, we only love ourselves. We love ourselves first and foremost above everything else, above God. The only way that we can love like God, sacrificially, unconditionally, is by knowing God's love. And rather than God saying, love me, he says, I love you. And here's how I will show you how I love you. As John writes, we love because he first loved us. The only way we're able to love is because love has first been shown to us. The only way we're able to love is because the Holy Spirit is working love in us, helping to bear that fruit of love, because we are connected to the vine, Jesus Christ, who is love incarnate. Luke then tells us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. God wants us to love our enemies, even though it's really, really hard, isn't it? It's not easy to love those who don't like you, who hate you, who are out to harm you. But that is what God wants us to do, even if they never love us in return. And the way that we can do that is by understanding our sinfulness, that we are enemies to God, yet he loved us while we were enemies. God's love is what helps us to love all people. And if we remain in that love, it's because we're remaining in Jesus Christ. And what's in store for us then is eternal life with God. And that is a free gift given to us by his grace. And as we gather, God calls us together. He calls us in worship because of what he wants to give us. His word, his forgiveness, to show us his faithfulness in keeping his promises. He wants to give us himself, his body and blood in his supper. He wants to strengthen our faith. Or he wants to give the gift of faith for those who have none. And he wants to give us salvation, eternal life. And that is found only in Christ. He wants to show you that you are his people. And that it is at this font that he calls you by name as his own. And it is there on the cross that he shows you that you are loved by him because he has redeemed you. He has bought you back with his precious life. And eternal life is freely given, completely undeserved. And that is grace. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.